Greetings and welcome to the Beacon Broadcast from Beacon Baptist Church on Kirkpatrick Road in Burlington, North Carolina. The Beacon Broadcast is supported in part by the gifts of faithful listeners. If you'd like to correspond with Pastor Barkman and the Beacon Broadcast, or if you wish to support this radio ministry, write to the Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201. The Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201. Now with today's message from God's Word, here is Pastor Greg Barkman.
We are learning from the lives of Aquila and Priscilla something of what it means to be a living sacrifice for the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul mentions them in Romans chapter 16 when he says in verse 3, "Greet Priscilla and Aquila, my fellow workers in Christ Jesus, who risked their own necks for my life, to whom not only I give thanks, but also all the churches of the Gentiles. Likewise, greet the church that is in their house." What does it mean to be a living sacrifice? Well, in the case of Aquila and Priscilla, it means a marriage devoted to Christ. They worked together as a team for the cause of Christ. They viewed their marriage as a partnership to be utilized in the service of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what our marriages should be. That's what my marriage should be, and I trust by the grace of God it is. That's what your marriage should be. And if it is not, then you need to ask the Lord to show you how you can make it that kind of marriage. What does it mean to be a living sacrifice? Number two, it means possessions devoted to Christ. And again, Aquila and Priscilla are a wonderful example of that. Their job, their business was devoted to the service of Christ. Now, that doesn't mean that their business didn't produce income to support themselves, their family, their responsibilities, their lifestyle. Of course it did. But they utilized their business in the service of Christ. And that, of course, is seen in the way that when Paul came to Corinth, he was employed by Aquila and Priscilla in their tent-making business. They saw an opportunity, apparently they were already Christians, and they saw an opportunity to employ a messenger of the Lord Jesus Christ so that he would be able to settle down in that area and evangelize and plant a church. And that's exactly what happened. Paul made tents, Paul earned a living to the extent that it was required for him to do so. Paul did that when his missionary support ran low. It's kind of interesting to study the words of Paul in Acts and the epistles to see exactly how he viewed this matter of financial support for himself as an apostle and as a missionary. And we realize that there were times when he did not work at a public job. He didn't do so when there was enough financial supply from other sources. We can follow that. I'm not going to take it to you now or take you to those places now, but we can follow that. We can find places where someone came to him and brought a large gift from one or more of the churches, and that enabled Paul to move from a part-time into a full-time ministry for Christ. His heart was always devoted to the cause of Christ, and he was more interested in directly serving the Lord, in preaching the gospel, and in witnessing to others, and in teaching others than he was in anything else. And so, when God supplied the means for him to be doing that 24/7, as it were, of course, we know that he had to sleep and eat and do the things that everybody has to do, but when his finances were sufficient for him to pursue gospel labors full-time, that's what he did. That was his desire. That was his preference. But when funds were not sufficient for him to do that, what did he do? He got a job. He went to work. Some Christian workers act as if it's something of a disgrace, a defeat, something beneath them, something dishonorable, to have to work to help support themselves. No, it's very honorable. If God hasn't supplied through other ways, then perhaps He will supply through this way. Nothing dishonorable about that. Of course, it's true that the hours you devote to making tents, you cannot devote to preaching the gospel. And for that reason, all things being equal, it is preferable that you not have to make tents. But if God has not supplied sufficiently for you to preach the gospel 24/7, then there's nothing dishonorable in making tents. And the wonderful thing is, God will have somebody to supply you with a job. I've seen that a number of times. I'm seeing an example of that in a nearby city at this time, where there's a young man who's working very diligently at planting a new church. And God has supplied the kind of job that he has needed. And when one job came to an end, God has supplied again another one that was suitable for his circumstances and will, I'm confident, continue to do so until the church is large enough to be able to support him full time, which is their goal and which is his goal. But that goal is not attainable quite yet. And so nothing wrong with making tents. Many a gospel worker has supported himself by making tents. But what is so encouraging is to see that God used Aquila and Priscilla to do so. Why? Because their possessions were devoted to Christ. They didn't view their business as primarily being a means to make money. They viewed their business as a means to serve the Lord. And if that meant employing the Apostle Paul, wonderful. If that meant relocating their business in the interests of Christ, wonderful. As when we saw in the broadcast yesterday, they left Corinth and traveled with Paul to Ephesus and apparently set up business in a new location. And you see, dear friend, that your job belongs to God, like everything else about you. You and everything you are and have belongs to God, and your job belongs to God. And you need to view your job as a tool that God has given you to serve Him. And you need to view yourself as a kingdom agent, and you need to see the big picture. And if God has given you a certain kind of job, then do it, and do it well. But don't forget, the job belongs to Christ, not to you. And you are there on that job to serve the Lord, not to serve yourself. And if God has given you a business, if you are a business person, known a business, then you need to realize God has given you that business for you to manage. You're a steward of that business. You're not the owner. People may view you as the owner. You may be classified as a small business owner or whatever, but you need to understand God is the owner of this business. I'm simply the general manager. I'm managing it for Him. Because everything you are and have belongs to Christ. We're talking about what it means to be a living sacrifice. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto the Lord, which is your reasonable service. It's only reasonable that your marriage be devoted first and foremost to Christ. It's only reasonable that your job be devoted first and foremost to Christ. It's only reasonable that your home be devoted first and foremost to Christ. That's the case of Aquila and Priscilla. They had a church in their house. Verse 5, Romans chapter 16. Likewise, excuse me, greet the church that is in their house. Speaking of Aquila and Priscilla. Now that tells me that they were undoubtedly successful in their business. Being business people whose business belonged to God, was devoted to God, didn't mean that they didn't utilize any of the income from their business to buy a large commodious house Actually, it was in the interest of Christ's kingdom that they do exactly that. And they bought a big house, big enough to accommodate the church. Aren't we glad they did? When God brought a church to birth in the city of Corinth, they needed a place to meet. When God brought a church to birth in the city of Ephesus, they needed a place to meet. Though in that case, actually, he supplied a different place. But in Corinth, it was the house of Aquila and Priscilla. And in Rome, it was the house of Priscilla and Aquila, because they moved from Corinth to Rome. And Paul is writing the epistle to Rome. And he says, greet the church that is in their house. They're back in Rome. If you've ever seen floor plans of those old Roman-style houses, the large, wealthy homes, you recognize that they were square houses built around an open central courtyard. I think that was called the atrium, if I'm not mistaken. Sometimes it was quite large. I've been in houses built on that style. I remember spending 5 days in a home built on that style in Africa one time, an old colonial home built by one of the British colonials in the early days of African history, and it was built around a courtyard. And guess what? That house was used to house a church in that city. And the courtyard was a wonderful place to do it. They could set up, I suppose, as many as 200 or 300 chairs in that courtyard and conduct a church service there, all surrounded by a house on four sides, well protected, but the climate was wonderful for it, and it allowed them to do that. Now, keep in mind that when you house a church, that you're going to have to do more than provide the space. You're going to have to work each week to make sure your house is ready. It's going to have to be cleaned. It's going to have to be prepared. It's going to have to be properly furnished. You may have to move some furniture. You may have to do a number of things. But what better thing to do with your home? Your home has been given to you to serve the Lord Christ. So use it that way. If God has given you a comfortable home, then think of the ways that you can use it to serve the Lord Christ. Surely, at the very least, you can use it as a center of hospitality, a place to fellowship with God's people, to strengthen ties between church members, as a way to reach out to newcomers in your church, as a means of evangelistic outreach into your neighborhood, as a place to host youth meetings and Bible studies, and I'm sure you can think of other ways. A place to provide hospitality for missionaries who are traveling through the areas, or others who are in need of hospitality. That's what Christ gives us our homes for. And if Christ has given you a home that is larger than is simply the minimum necessary to meet the needs of your family, then why has he given you that extra space? Why do some of you who had large homes because you had fairly good-sized families and you needed all of those rooms, when your children were at home and your children are all grown and gone now, why do you have all those extra rooms now if you're not using them for the cause of Christ? You ought to be thinking of some ways that you can specifically use those rooms for the cause of Christ, because your home should be devoted to him. Until tomorrow, Greg Barkman saying good day. May God give you his eternal peace.